Welcome back to the Unhinged History Podcast with your unhinged hosts, Tani Caesar and Tani Caesar. If you haven't watched episode one, part one of this, advisable to do blah, blah, blah. So let's cue the music. Okay, well, let's go. All right. Can you explain what a brown ant is? And then, if you don't mind, explaining it to you, had two, right?
I've had two
So I've been pulled off the job twice.
Yeah. So if you can
now,
explain
that's nothing unusual.
No.
Let me qualify that. Most of us back in the day got pulled off jobs because the DSVs, or so the vessels we work on in systems, with SAT systems, are referred to as DSVs.
Which stands for?
Directional, whatever. It has a DP desk that operates azimuth thrusters that holds it on position. That's literally what it is.
So as the waves are tossing
it'll control itself to stay on location.
Got it.
So a brownout, so we get a blackout, that's easy to understand. That's everything's gone dead. So that's a bad situation for a ship. So that means a ship is just cruising, floating. Not a good place to be. A brownout is when not everything's being knocked out, but it's normally related to the DP some way. So the directional positioning of the vessel has somehow computed, something's gone out of skelter, something's tripped, and so the vessel is not able to hold position and is starting to drift for location.
Wherever the current, and deep sea, if you've never been stuck in a rip before.
Yeah, it can get pretty fast.
Yeah, but like deep sea currents.
So you're on a job. There's that incident that happened in the North Sea where what happened with that guy. So
this is Last Breath Dude, right?
Yes, this cracking movie.
Yeah, I mentioned it in the last one.
So he got pulled off, but the trouble with him is he was wrapped around, his umbilical was wrapped around one of the extensions of wherever he was working on.
Because keep in mind, I'll put a visual up of the sand divers are connected. Literally, it looks like an umbilical cord.
Yeah,
so you're literally
It is an
up.
Umbilical cord.
Yeah.
So his umbilical cord broke. So he was literally dead, technically dead in the location that he was left behind and in the vessels moving off. So the same thing happened to me, but my umbilical didn't break. Now that wasn't necessarily unusual. Some of the vessels we worked on were a little bit on the used side.
So they
weren't as good as they were the day they were built.
Yeah.
I got pulled off two jobs. So we were in SAT, hanging at the bell, doing whatever I was doing. And then it's, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then obviously everyone on the supervisor, he's got his best calm voice on.
We're fine.
And he's going, no, everything's fine, Tani. No, there's nothing wrong.
That is so like passive aggressive yoga instructor vibes.
Yeah. Okay. We're fine.
You're just like,
and you're just doing this as you're getting dragged off the job. And in layman's brains, you're probably thinking, you just go back to the bell. Easier said than done, because you've got a lot of, it's not easy to pull yourself back up an umbilical cord.
There's infrastructure that you're potentially avoiding?
Sometimes, not necessarily. Most of the two times I got pulled off, they were out in the open sea. We just happened to be on, I don't know what the hell we were doing, to be honest with you. I forget the jobs.
Yeah, okay.
And that was all okay. We have a laugh and we thought, that was funny.
And then come back home and cry yourself to sleep.
Then it affects you 20 years later. You wake up in a cold sweat.
And then your eldest daughter's, hey, Dan, I think you should get diagnosed with OCD.
Yeah, but it happens. It happens. And it actually, it happened. I don't want to say it happened a lot because that would be incorrect, but
it happened.
It happened. And it wasn't just me, no.
And your experiences, you didn't die, so.
Well, that's right.
Yes. Okay, that's that. So that's, but again, I mentioned in the last podcast episode that the last breath is like, you were like, mention the last breath because it really captures.
Oh, it's a good movie. It really captures saturation diving.
I can't watch it.
But the guy, not to give the plot away, but after that incident, it changed a few things. There's an organisation called IMCA. And it's almost where we go for best practices, technical stuff going on. So they changed a few things to the size of the bailout bottle, how many litres it needed to hold. And I remember that. I remember that in my mind when that came through in the industry and it's like, this has changed now and this is the reason why. And we were all,
Because that's the thing is like the diving, the SAT diving community, when something happens, you will know about it.
Yeah, everyone knows. We may not choose to think about it or acknowledge it too deeply, but you know when something's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
When someone's being sucked up a pipe or something.
Yeah, which, moving on, this one is about, I don't know which C it was, but you had that partner that was sucked up a pipe.
Yeah, yeah, he was an Aussie.
You trained in Townsville together.
Yeah, we did our DMT together in Townsville. Mm-hmm. That was quite a few years before that incident. Long time.
Yeah.
Terrific human being. I the last job we were on together, we were on the Windsor Tour, which is a vessel. We're in the South China Sea somewhere. And that was the last time we had a laugh together. Good man.
Yeah.
Yeah, good diver.
I remember how...
Really good diver.
I remember when incidences would happen and you would come home and I could always tell when you were able to disassociate from it. But we're not going to talk about it.
No, listen, he was a mate. Yeah.
But like for instance, in the Baltic Sea.
Yes.
You almost died, but you were able to be like, yeah, this happened. But I remember how it impacted you emotionally.
Oh, you did.
You could tell the difference.
Listen, particularly Australians and Kiwis, whatever time period you work in that industry, so before us there was the Purple Circle. We all had them as our supervisors and superintendents. They were the crew, the generation before us. We all knew who each other was. There was Canadians, there was Kiwis, Australians.
Sorry, your mic just, can you put it to the on your ownership?
We'll put up here with the shirt, I think.
Yeah, it's the polar S. Anyway, just have to deal with that.
Yeah, we were all a bit floored when that happened.
Just for the story, because how does that happen?
Effectively, pressure. Again, it's a pressure incident. He was working on a flange, the pipeline. So the pipe that he was working on was meant to have been flooded. So the beach verified it's flooded.
With water.
So there's no pressure differentiation between him and what's inside the pipe. That should be full of water. Anyway, the details probably don't matter. It wasn't. So when whatever he was doing, cycling a valve or whatever the work was, he literally got sucked into that pipe, 3K up the pipe. So he would have been soup like that.
Did they not try to attempt to collect the...
They did, eventually.
And it was...
But to collect the what was...
Remains. Was liquid.
They had to... They call it a peat. So basically they sent it down pipeline. So it literally just pushes everything in front of it into whatever area you're pushing it to. So that's how they did it.
Yeah.
So there was another incident very similar to that up in the Papua New Guinea area. There was a company I was working for...
What was that company in Papua?
Oh, I can't remember.
That was that.
They were dodgy.
Time was
I call them the Dodgy Brothers, but anyway, that's just.
Yeah, sure.
Long story cut short, there was a great pressure differential again. It was a Chinese diver, and I'm pretty sure it was air work. It wasn't sat. Mm-hmm. And he literally got the only thing that stood on the same side as the grate after that incident was his helmet. So everything just got sucked through the grate. Yeah, pressure is, and I've nearly lost a leg. I nearly lost a leg in Papua New Guinea. Pressure and a cofferdam. That was a lucky day.
Whoever ran that Papua New Guinea job, I swear.
It's the country. It's the place.
I remember you coming home and telling us, you probably told us like a few years later about, was it there in Nigeria where you were in literally a prison? Like you guys were in the prison?
Oh,
to
that's
be
both
protected.
Countries. No, both countries.
Oh, both countries.
Yeah, both
countries.
Okay. Yeah.
So like these guys, instead of being in like a hotel or I don't know, whatever. I don't know where you stayed.
Yeah, no, they were both
prison
military camps.
Not
military camps, but we were protected.
Like barbed wire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Prison, but not for them to be in prison, but for the other way around. To keep people out.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Papua New Guinea and Nigeria, I remember you coming home and telling stories about that and just being like, what on earth are you?
Yeah, they're pretty rough spots.
And like, where would you say, in my recollection, you were majority of the time in the Middle East? But that could be very incorrect.
Asia a lot. I think Asia more than...
And then you had a few years...
Africa. Oh, listen, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Oh, I did have nice jobs.
The one in Venice.
Yeah, that was a beautiful job.
Perth?
Yeah, Nice.
Not really. No, there was that Melbourne job.
Perth had a great guy who made the best noodles.
Oh, there you go.
That was about the highlight.
Nothing noodles can't fix.
I did project work in just out of Venice for a while on a big gas project. That was good. I enjoyed that.
But you were in, I feel like you were in Russia for 3 years.
I was in Russia for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Caspian area. I was there for,
People always ask me like, oh, when did you become interested in history? And I can never answer it because I just can't remember when I wasn't, because you would always bring me home really cool
trinkets.
And then when you would bring home like Soviet war medals or little just bits and pieces from, or I remember as a kid, I collected your passports.
That's right.
Because Dad would fill a passport in.
Yeah. Went through a few.
Oh, that was another question someone asked. Is there a time, typically how long is a contract? And is there a minimum or maximum time period in which you have to have off?
No.
Yeah.
No. Listen, we were contractors. We chased the dog. So we were always scared that we were never going to work again after the last job.
Yeah.
The end of a job, we'd be looking for the next job.
Yeah.
Literally.
And what's the time, like, because obviously when you come out of SAT 4 days, then you're on land. Is there a time that you have to wait until you can then fly?
Yeah, there is.
How long?
Depends on who's running the job. So I think we used to have bin watch. Was it 2 days? I think.
I even know like when you scuba, you can't fly for.
I think bin watch was 2 days. It might have been four. Oh, I can't remember. We didn't worry about minor details, like, right?
Different time. Yeah. Okay.
I shouldn't say that. That's not correct. We pretty much adhered to the procedures that we knew were best practices.
Yeah. But I also think as well, though, during your formative career, those procedures were actually being developed.
They weren't perfect. My own working life, things changed.
Yeah, because
of things, accidents, and even accidents that I had investigated and stuff with the projects I was working on.
Something I will literally never forget is, I think it was Boxing Day.
Yeah.
You were at this point above water. You were a risk. And I remember you answering a call and being like, helicopter's coming out. And you had to leave him because there was an emergency. And I'm pretty sure Mum was like, okay, because Mum was very good at like, you didn't tell Mum the details until well after.
Yep.
So who did he vent to? My mum is in the background with her thumbs up. So who did he tell? Hello. But I would always ask, that's why. And so I remember being like, what happened?
Mm.
And you were like, oh, someone's just lost both his legs.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, cool. That's awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mum was like, but we have plans for such for Boxing Day. And you were like, sorry, we're not going to make that. Anyway, the staph infection in the SAT.
Yeah, so it was Caspian Sea. We had a deep SAT in process. Deep SATs were not common. I wish I could remember. I'd have to pull out files to remember the details on storage depth. But it was a deep SAT. We had a staph infection in the system. I was operations/risk/something-else manager at the time, so it was my problem, so to speak.
Yeah.
BP was the client, a guy called, what's his name, Wanker Brown, I called him.
Wanker. We'll just call him Wanker.
He was the reason.
For the BP oil spill.
The BP oil. They called him Bulls, business unit. Tony Brown, that's him. Yeah, we called him Dickhead for short.
Is he in prison or something?
Well, I'd like to put him somewhere. Anyway, I digress. Long story cut short, we had you get medicals before you go into SAT. So you have to pass a medical. So that's where the drug history of divers come into play.
Yeah.
I'm digressing before I start digressing.
Yeah. Sharing urine.
one of my mates had high blood pressure and I don't know what he used to take before SAT medical. He used to always come saying, I've got to get this, got to get that.
Valium or like something.
Settled down. Anyway, I digress. One of the boys went in. He literally had a pimple on his leg. The pimple turned into a boil. He popped the boil, splattered on the side of the chamber, staph infection in the system. It was a deep storage depth, which was a perfect breeding ground for staphylococcal. One of the lads, it started on one of the lads' chin. Canadian diver, really good diver. I had a lot of respect for him. And he came to the porthole, called me in. The LSS called me up, said, we got a problem. I went to the porthole. He put his chin up to the porthole and I was looking at it as best as I can, and it was like a rash. It looked mm-hmm. like a rash, and I thought, okay. We all talked, and we said this could be staph. We could be in real trouble here. So I went back to the big heads. We discussed, and we decided, thank goodness, my managers were...
Excellent.
They didn't muck around. They good set of balls between them, and they said, no, let's shut it down. So to shut a SAT system down on a job's a pretty major event.
It's so expensive.
It's money.
And also it takes 4 days to...
All of that. But in the time that it took to deco the boys to the surface, that had basically eaten half. He'd lost half his chin, like literally...
Half a jaw.
Gone. It wasn't in the bone. It was just the skin, but it had eaten. It was... And then literally everyone in that system... So that would have been 6 or 9. Can't quite remember how many we had. I think it was 9. I think we had 9 guys in SAT at the time. Everyone in that system had, they were getting eaten. Something on their body was getting eaten.
Like a necrosis type.
And you can't do nothing.
No.
You can chuck every antibiotic known to man. It just doesn't.
They literally have to, as far as I'm aware, you have to go into the hospital and they literally have to slowly cut away the infection.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's it. Anyway, long story cut, sort of shorter. We got pulled over the grill by Tony Blair.
Didn't the main guy, the one that had the original infection, which also, it was just a freaking pimple.
Yeah, that's how it started.
That's it. He lost the leg? No, he didn't.
No, there was no leg lost.
Oh, okay. That was another thing.
That's another incident.
Yeah,
major event for saturation diving. Anyway, long time later, after we had done all the investigation and did all the research and yada yada, we happened to find out that Stolt-Stenner years before had done a same storage depth and had exactly same problem. They had a staphylococcal breakout.
No.
So there was something about the storage depth that we were at that just triggered the human body. And so IMCA, the body that gives us the best practices and that, all that report went to them and went out to the industry. And yeah, so that was one of the bigger investigations that I was involved.
Basically... Wanker grills you
He got upset with us because we shut the system down because we dare care about our human body buddies. But anyway, that's besides the point.
But then also, when you're at different levels, are the gases...
And no, listen, no. All that remains the same. The fundamentals remain the same, but
it becomes
a point where deep sats aren't common because they have so many more issues.
Risks.
And those issues have got to do with we just don't know what's happening to the human body.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't, that's why SAT's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Like.
We're has-beens and that's not a bad thing.
Well, deep SAT, yeah, but there's still shallow SAT that will go on.
Yeah, because it's economics.
Sorry, your mic is yet again detouring. It's very stressful. Yeah, and then anyway, he ended up being the CEO of BP when that major oil spill.
Yeah, so good on him.
He clearly didn't care much.
There's an arrogance in the industry and you expect to see that.
Yeah.
But there comes a time when arrogance needs to be put to the side.
I just remembered this. I remember being a little girl and being like, when I grow up, I want to be like my dad and be a saturation diver. And Dad was like, no, you absolutely will not be a saturation diver.
There actually is female. Well,
there was a girl, a commenter. She is a sat diver.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I think she was saying commercial mainly, but she has done a couple of sat jobs.
No,
but
head off to her because it's a hard enough industry as a bloke.
So that was a pretty hard.
That was a big learning curve. That sat, it obviously
Which
went ahead.
Which sea was that again?
That was in the Caspian.
Caspian,
So that SAT went ahead after that incident got cleaned up. And every one of the lads that came out of that SAT after the project, I would say half a dozen of them came to me and said, I've got to get out of the water.
Yeah.
So they were trying to hold their forks and knives. They couldn't get their hands. So every single one of them had
something. Some type of...
And there was enough for them to say... That's it, I'm out. And they were older divers. None of them were young. They were these were seasoned, because you have to put your best in, the best that you had at the time. And so all these boys
were the best.
They were the best that the industry, the company had at the time. And they were good lads.
Every single one of them.
And I helped a few of them, different training technique. No, I was useless at that.
Okay.
No, we didn't.
It wasn't a thing back then.
We didn't do that.
Which is so interesting, because today, what's the term, the life? not a lifeguard, the medical, whatever, the person that's like watching you shower, who's that again?
Oh, that is life support.
Yeah, they'd be like super knowledgeable about the psychological aspect.
Yeah, I think there's, don't get me wrong, when a guy is in SAT and he gets a letter from his wife that she's leaving him.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, I remember that.
And you're in SAT with him, or you're about, I was about to go into SAT. And as I was going into SAT, this guy, the day or 2 days before, had received a Dear John letter from his wife. And he wasn't a soft man. He was pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
And everyone was a bit like, So we were all told to watch him. And I said, well, that's great.
Yeah, we're literally in saturation with a human bomb.
We're in a steel chamber, no way of escaping, with a human being that is very capable of ripping your head off.
His nut.
Yeah, and he's not
happy.
And
he just found out that his emotional heart has just been...
I think in the end, they did blow him
out. I remember you saying that you were like, hey, let's get this guy out.
He did come out eventually. They did get him out.
I remember you saying that, like...
They got him out literally... So when they take a diver out of SAT, you have to have a buddy go with you.
Yeah.
So normally there's normally a separate chamber, and it's usually the emergency chamber that can float and all that good stuff. So the emergency chamber is usually where you get banished to. But I remember the guy that had to go with him. So not only is he losing coins, he's in a chamber by himself with a guy who's just being told by his missus that...
Oh, man. I'm surprised they didn't send you, because I remember you saying that you, like, were able to try to calm him down while he was in SAT.
Yeah.
You probably would have been like, nah, I'm not doing that.
No. No one puts your hand up for that one.
No. All right, let's do the last story.
Did we finish the last story? Okay.
I forget.
Story we're talking about...
Oh, wait.
Tony Blair. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah, we covered that.
Yeah.
Everyone wants... to know about the shark attack, the bull shark. I know it's just everyone loves the shark stories. I don't know why, but I could actually, you know what? I can tell this story. I've heard it that many bloody times.
It's pretty simple.
Johnny Ishiwid, who we still haven't found. So internet, do you think?
We're in the Marjan field in Saudi Arabia. It was 179 foot. We're going to bomb down, get the job done, whip back home.
Bomb down, thought, have a little woo.
We thought we'd just take a couple of steely tanks and just get this done.
It's the job wasn't difficult. No, like run-of-the-mill kind of job.
It was just an inspection job. So literally swim out a pipeline, check something, whatever. I think CP reading, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Come back, give a report, lie about most of it, and get on with the day of sunbaking. That was pretty much
it. Yeah, that was
the plan.
Which
you're not supposed to do after diving, by the way.
So him and Johnny bomb down.
Bomb down. Bull shark sees Johnny, knocks Johnny off the pipeline. I see that happen. I'm thinking, bye-bye, Johnny.
That's how I know you.
Johnny comes back. His
eyes
wide. His steels have gone down as the red zone on his regulator.
That means he had hyperventilated so badly.
Basically breathing so heavy, he basically
sucked all of his oxygen.
He's got his knife out, and Johnny was an ex. He was some special forces.
So it was a knife.
He was a hard man. All the time in the world for Johnny. He was a hard man, but he was soft heart. Really nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had his big samurai sword out.
and you're just like...
I used to carry this little yellow pointing knife when I had that out.
To this day, he still has those flippy outie.
Yeah, yeah. Still years old. So Johnny's panicking, not so much now because of the shark, but because I got this little knife. He said to me when we got... He said to me, well, we being decoed upstairs and all that stuff. He goes, that's a part of it. He just called me Tarn.
Yeah.
He goes, Tarn. So when you pull that knife out, so I really shit myself.
You're not allowed to say these days.
No, you can't say that.
No.
So he came around three times. The second time I went for Johnny again, and it tried to crush Johnny with its tummy. I always remember what stood out to me was as it was going past, I ran my finger as it was swimming past and just think I was in awe or the experience, I think.
Yeah.
I felt privileged. I felt privileged that I was given an opportunity to be so close to something that we probably don't understand.
So majestic
and
majestic, large.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's funny because that's just something that I'd probably do. I get that. I understand that.
I thought Johnny was gone. I didn't know if it had its mouth. If it had
so
its
you were
mouth,
just, like, waiting.
Because all I saw was big thing coming hitting Johnny and Johnny disappearing. I didn't know if it had its mouth open.
No.
Because I was over here.
And so typically bull sharks will, like a bull, hence the name, they'll ram you.
I don't think that's why they got their name, but we'll go with that.
It's similar. I'm going to Google that.
It knocked me this second time.
It comes around three times.
With its tail. The third time it tried to crush us both on the we're on the side of the pipeline now. Anyway.
Johnny and Dad find each other.
Yeah, yeah. But Johnny's back to the pipe. We're crouched down together. We then hoik it back along the sea bottom on the pipe and then hoik ourselves up the jacket. Now, normally we should have most definitely have stopped and some just done a fair few decos.
Yeah.
Because it was deep.
Because you can't.
But
if you don't.
We disappeared all that stuff. This is
which
something.
Which could have gotten the bends and died, but anyway.
Happens. But also, what really peeved me off is as I was coming up the jacket with Johnny, we're just hoiking up the jacket because we knew we were going to go to deco in the chamber on the surface. And at this stage, we just wanted out of the water for obvious reasons. But I went past these two massive crayfish. And if anyone knows me, I don't swim past crayfish. So I'm going up the jacket. I'm going, hold on a minute, Johnny. Johnny looks at me and goes,
and you wouldn't share your extra air with him.
No.
You're not having any of my air.
Johnny, I said, get away.
Yeah, not mine. The thing is, that's the most ADHD thing I've ever heard in my life. And people wonder where I get it from. Mm. You're being attacked by a shark and what do you remember?
The crayfish.
Bloody crayfish.
So I had to leave the crayfish behind. We got to the surface. The boys knew straight away. You get well tuned to knowing, get that chamber door. Because the chamber's ready at all times. So the chamber's always ready to go. And so we basically jump out of the water on deck. We're stripping down. So the boys know chamber door was open. Someone's on the chamber. They're ready to blow us down. We go in the chamber. We calm our farm. We're on the O2. We had no twitches.
Which is very lucky. Because
we were blessed.
In every single way. Yeah, unfortunately, no crayfish, but in every other way, you were extremely looked after.
We had a heart-to-heart that night, Johnny and I. And I said to Johnny, we'll jump in the water tomorrow. He said, we've got to get back on the horse. And we did. And anyway, years later, we worked together on and off. Years later, I saw Johnny in Russia. He was on the SAT team going into Russia. I looked across the room. I saw Johnny issuing. I looked at him. We just laughed.
Because that's what you do after life-threatening trauma. You just laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's probably.
I think if I saw him today, if he walked into the room, we just laugh.
Yeah. If the internet can do their thing and actually find him, because I've asked once on TikTok, no success, maybe on YouTube. But yeah, I think that's probably a really good note to end on is when I was growing up and Dad was teaching me how to be in the ocean and surf and stuff. I remember getting, do you remember that time I got wasted by that wave and it was like real corally and I like got face planted and I had like gravel in my eye and my face was all grazed. And I come out and I'm like, and Dad was like, get back in the water or you'll never get back in. But I feel like that's...
I think it's a philosophy of life.
Yeah, yeah.
We all have a tendency to think we're owed something.
Yeah.
And I think that's very common today. Everyone feels entitled, rightly or wrongly, whatever.
Bringing it back to history, my prized book possession, that's what stoicism really is, that resilience.
Yeah.
Like to slay the dragon when it's in the cave or whatever.
I say it all the time, saturation divers... Realistically, we're has-beens. We're part of history. People will look at books in time to come and think, what a bunch of weirdo idiots.
Yeah, it's insane, frankly.
Would I do it again? Yeah, too right I would.
Yeah.
Too right I would. Did I enjoy my time with that industry? Yeah. I don't think it's over, to be honest with you. I get called up from time to time. I'm not part of the industry anymore, but I would go back in a flash.
It's the right opportunity.
It's the right opportunity. Yeah. Because... Yeah, it's exciting.
It's a bonded thing, I feel. Like, you've spent so much time and so many experiences, like, of course you have a love for it, you know what I mean?
You don't do something like that unless you enjoy
it. Unless you love it.
Yeah, and the characters are just, I cannot begin to express what sort of people I've worked with. Well, quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I have one dude, he's English, and he was very well spoken. He looked funny. His head was too big for his body and he didn't look like a diver. You looked at him and thought, he's not a commercial diver. Anyway, he was a salesman before he became a commercial diver.
Oh, that's weird.
He was out with his boss's wife at a big presentation. He had a problem with the drink. And anyway, when he started drinking, he'd just turned into a different personality altogether.
Right.
He's at this sales presentation. If he's listening, he'll know exactly who he is. He's at the sales presentation. He stands up, pulls his pants down, grabs his boss's wife's steak, wipes it on his arse, puts it back on his plate, gets sacked the next day, becomes a commercial diver.
Of course.
He rings me up before he flies into the job. I was his boss at the time. He rings me up and he goes, Tarn, could you please get me offshore as soon as possible? Please don't leave me on the beach. Anyway, we used to have a few heart-to-hearts, and I really liked the kid. I thought he was he used to make me laugh every time I looked at his big head. And he said, Tarn, I have a problem with alcohol. I can't have a drink. I don't know what it is, and it changes me. And I said, okay, no problem. We'll get you straight offshore, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he flies into the job. Apparently the driver who goes to pick him up, not only picks him up, but also picks up two prostitutes that he had ordered before he got there. So that's the sort of guy he was.
And I remember the guy you would always talk about who on, I don't forget where, I feel like maybe around the Russia period. He was like this little guy and he was a boxer and he would just spar.
He was a Golden Gloves for the English special, whatever they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a tough boy. There was a few tough boys, actually. Some of them, you'd see them work out, those guys who can just do pull-ups all day.
I remember you telling...
Small little...
Yeah, they're just like...
but they could kill you with an eyebrow.
Yeah, because they've got to work out that much because they really have so much pent-up anger in them.
While we're on individuals. So,
yeah.
But there's another one. He lived in Cyprus. He was wanted by the law because he came home, found his girlfriend sleeping with a bloke, accidentally punched him to death. The guy happened to be a cop. So he was in hiding. So we'd all... And then there was another one.
He was like a literal fugitive of his country. Yeah.
And there was another one. He was funny as well. He was wanted. I know what he was wanted for. But so you're surrounded by characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes the industry so rich. Everyone
has lived some
big
kind
lives,
of crazy life.
Big lives.
Yeah. And then you're also living a huge life because the career is...
You understand each other. We have all these things. Have you had your nervous poo, which means you're about to go for do your job. No, we do not say that.
I've got to try to keep him politically correct so I don't get cancelled.
So
he's not a boomer.
No, I'm not. I'm
one
Gen
year
X.
Shy,
I'm
but
Gen X. So please don't confuse me with that bunch.
Gen X. That's not right.
No, I am. I'm Gen X.
Isn't Gen X below me? Anyway, whatever. I'm not a millennial, okay? No, maybe I am.
Would I do it again? Yeah, at the drop of a hat, because not so much because of the big ball industry. No, because of the characters.
Yeah, for sure. That's all the notes
and
that I have.
And remember, no helium balloons.
No helium balloons. That's incorrect science. So yeah, that's my dad. Hope you enjoyed. Let us know if you want, I don't know, follow-up interview. They'll probably want another interview, let's be real.
Whatever.
And please subscribe, share, and... If you want to support the channel, you can join the Patreon, you can buy jewelry, or you don't have to do any of those things. I don't really mind. Up to you. Hope you enjoyed. See you next time.